Tommy, how you doing?
I cannot complain. Beautiful day, sun's out, casual, Thursday, and all of a sudden Friday is now pretty clear, Greg. It's pretty clear Friday, so no complaints over here, just enjoying this journey that we're all going along together in this wacky world of the National Hockey League.
Well, you know what? I'll say this. Well, you know, I guess I do wonder, you know, if JT Miller doesn't say anything, are they playing a game tomorrow night? You know, good on them for speaking up and having some common sense. Now, they're not going to get a ton of days off here. Let's be honest. No. They're still going to have a terrible schedule. But it sounds like, I know the game tomorrow is canceled for sure, and it sounds like the Saturday one might get pushed to Sunday. So the Leafs and the Canucks will play back-to-back Sunday and Monday. Then the Leafs, then Vancouver will have a day off, and then they'll have to play back-to-back again, right? Like, it's not, it's definitely not going to be easy for Vancouver. But I look at the schedule and how they're going to reset things. I do wonder if they try to have Edmonton when they're in Vancouver on May 8th or 6th, it is to just play on the 7th or the 8th and then move the game that was in Edmonton on the 8th to, like maybe the 14th and then push back the Calgary-Vancouver games a few days, because Edmonton's going to make the playoffs. They can't be, they can't be playing that much later than everybody else.
That's fair. That's fair. And I'm sure, well, here's the other thing too with this decision, and I'm sure we're going to get the email from the National Hockey League at some point this afternoon. You don't want to be playing this cluster of games as you're trying to approach the postseason. You know, it could be injury, wear and tear, all that stuff. That's a factor. But then on the other side of it, you're looking at this and going, I'm sure the Oilers wanted to play this game and you know, get on with the schedule instead of sitting idle again. Even though I think this scenario compared to when they were in Montreal is a little bit better, being at home, having time to practice, a little more comfortable. But like going from Vancouver or from Edmonton to Vancouver, switch a time zone, then you fly all the way back to Manitoba, you go back two time zones, play a late game, then you come back to Edmonton, day between games, and then play on the Monday. Like, that's a pain in the butt. But I'm sure that the Oilers were all gung-ho to get this out of the way and move on with it. But at the same time, now it breaks it up. It's now two games in three nights instead of three and four. But again, you know, whatever the schedule maker and the algorithms that they use in their computer software can come up with later in the season, it might be like, we might be looking at another scenario where it's like, hey, 4-6, 3-4 again, and maybe people around the Oilers are rolling their eyes going, geez, you know. But again, it all comes back to this craziness that is the shortened season.
Tom Cazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins won't be playing in Winnipeg on Saturday night, so he'll miss one game. That's maybe one benefit for the Oilers if they reschedule this game later in the season. Well, that's the game Nugent-Hopkins would have missed, and now we might not miss it. So if you're Dave Tippett, you go into Winnipeg, are you going guns a-blazing with McDavid and Draisaitl, or are you splitting them up?
Oh, I like the idea of splitting them up against Winnipeg. That's what they've done for the most part against the Jets anyway. And then I always say this, too, is like, you know, we talk about McDavid, Draisaitl getting stacked up and playing with Puljujärvi, or there was that time there with Yamamoto for a little bit. It's not like these two don't play a lot together throughout the course of a normal game anyway. They're always out there that first shift after a penalty kill, a successful penalty kill, trying to get that momentum back. They're usually out there if the team's trailing or looking for the go-ahead goal in the last 5 to 6 minutes of the game anyway. They're out there on the power play together anyway. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's that massive of a difference. It does change things up a little bit, the dynamic, especially with the second line or so-called second line changes, and especially now with Nugent Hopkins not going to be available against the Jets. I don't know, Greggs. I like the idea of splitting them up against Winnipeg, because Winnipeg does have a pretty balanced forward unit, and if you want to attack them that way and you've had success against them that way, maybe you try to continue that success by splitting them up. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it going into the matchup with the Jets.
Yeah, I just look at how he did it against Ottawa, you know what, and felt like, hey, we can load up against them, and I think he would have done that with Vancouver, but then against Calgary, he split them up. And I think against Winnipeg, that's probably what we're going to see. I think, and we might get to see it tomorrow at practice. right? Because the Orders will now practice tomorrow in Edmonton and then fly out to Winnipeg like they would. And so you'll have an opportunity to see it practice tomorrow.
You know what's funny about that is cameraman extraordinaire Dave Parker for TSN. I said I was leaving the rink today. I'm like, see you tomorrow or see you next week, Parker. Have a great weekend. He goes, yeah, see you tomorrow, Tommy. And I was like, what? And sure enough, Parker was right. Anyway, he's razor sharp. Want to give Parker a shout out.
Yeah, well, he's on the ball. He knows what's going on.
Right? He does.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's good. A few other things as you look. Are the Calgary Flames just teasing their fan base? Do you think they have
yes.
a realistic shot?
No. That's an insurmountable hole. I mean, a couple of big wins, absolutely showing some life going down the stretch here. But I don't know, Gregs. I don't think it's there. I don't think we're going to see a miracle from the Calgary Flames. And too little, too late, man. So many spoiled opportunities, whether it was earlier in the season or after the coaching change, that this little burst here, a couple of wins, I don't think that salvages anything. I don't foresee them going on a crazy run and catching the Habs or no way they catch the Oilers. So just a little burst, and I think that's it.
Yeah. Although I say this about Montreal. Like, they got a brutal schedule. We can't overlook their schedule. It's pretty awful as well down the stretch. So we'll see how they handle it. And you never know. Like, if Calgary, I said, the only way Calgary, they pretty much got to win all five heads against Montreal. So they'll give themselves belief if they can win again tomorrow night. Because Calgary, you know, for long stretches last night, they really controlled that game. There's no question about it. Tom Gazzola joins us, an Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Tommy, a few other things to discuss when we look around the league. And you were asked, or you asked me via text today, if you think there's an age restriction on bringing a glove to a ball diamond. I don't believe there is, but I'll say this. If you want to catch a ball as a fan in the stands, I have no problem. But if you're a grown adult and you catch the ball and there's a kid close to you, then I would catch the ball and then pass it to the child.
Yes, 100% on the giving to a kid the ball that you caught. Now, this stems from, I don't know if you caught it, I know you did, but if people caught the Justin Turner home run where the guy totally missed the ball and it blew up his plate of nachos all over himself, he did get the ball. But I thought to myself, I'm like, first of all, that was a terrible missed catch. He tried to like breadbasket it instead of getting his hands on it. And secondly, I thought to myself, I'm like, well, it's not a young guy. He looks like he's in his 20s. Why didn't he have a glove? And I thought to myself, well, you're in your 20s. I think you've passed that age where it's like normal to bring a glove. The exception I have is if you're with a little kid. I think 16, Gregs, is probably the good cutoff year where you stop bringing a glove to a ball game.
Really?
Unless you're
Why?
There with a little kid. I don't think it's a good way to appreciate a baseball game. When you're kind of on that cusp of adulthood, you want to go there, you want to have fun. Why are you bringing your glove? Unless you're there with a little kid where they've got that twinkle in their eyes and they're going to just soak up what is baseball and being there with like a dad, brother, uncle, mom, whatever, bigger brother, and you're there, you both have gloves. I think that part of it is cool. But I think if you're like me, going to a ball game with buddies or bringing a girl on a date to a ball game, I don't think you're bringing a glove. Like, I'm not saying to a girl, hey, we're going to a baseball game. Let's bring our gloves. Not a chance. Pas de chance, Gregs.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So let's just picture Tom Gazzola sitting in the down the third base line and a screamer comes in. If Tom Gazzola goes up to catch it, is it hitting him in the face or is he actually catching it?
I've got cat-like reflexes. I'm catching that bad boy. At worst, I'm deflecting it elsewhere and walking away with a bad welt and bruise. I like my chances, though, Gregs. I was a great street hockey goalie as a kid.
Oh, really?
Great glove hand. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but glove hand, but not bare hand. You're not playing cricket, Tom. That's the thing. I don't discount the people will catch it. But if you've never caught a baseball barehanded, to go to the game now because you're suddenly 16 and to sit there and be like, oh, now I've got to catch it. Like, I think we're asking for trouble. I would have, I don't think there's any problem if you bring your glove. If you want to catch it with your glove, great. We've seen people catch it with their beer. We've seen people catch it with nachos. Some yep. try to catch it. It didn't work. But I have no problem. But I've seen adults steal balls from kids. That's where I have the issue with. It's not if you catch it. I have no problem if you catch it. Turn around, hand it to a kid, whatever. Your own kid, great. But I don't have a problem with bringing the glove because I don't think there's like an age restriction. Because let's be honest, how many people have the athletic ability to catch a Major League Baseball ball coming off a bat? Not many of us.
2 out of 10.
You would catch 2 out of 10 barehanded?
No, 2 people out of 10 might be able to catch that ball. A screamer down the line.
Oh, barely.
Yeah.
Yeah, without it hitting them in the face. Like, I've always said this. I've always been stunned by why there isn't more people who have gotten hurt over time in baseball because they don't pay attention, especially now with people on their phones.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always amazed you see someone and they're just oblivious to it. I'm just like, what? Like, remember that lady playing at the NBA game was like 3 rows deep? You know, just she might as well have just put her phone in her mouth because she wasn't remotely watching the game, crushes her right in the face. And I'm like, you know what? If you pay that much money, then watch the game.
Yes.
Right? There's tons of time for timeouts to be on your phone. Like, I think too many people now, they miss what goes on around them because they're on their phone.
It's that part of it. And I think there was a baseball game a year or two ago, and it was a group of girls, and they were there for the game. And it was right in the middle of, like, it was right between a pitch, and they were all taking selfies. Like 10 of them. I don't know if it was a bachelorette party, but it's true. And then the other one, I'll toss this one in too as part of that. At concerts, when everyone has their phones up at a concert.
The worst. Yeah, they're watching
Enjoy
the concert
it.
Through the phone. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, everybody knows those videos suck, right? Like when you watch it later, like what are you going to do with that? Like really?
It's so true. It is so true. You're at the stadium, at the venue, it's building these memories. You're in the moment with the artists, the athletes. Take it all in, the sights, the smells, the atmosphere of the crowd. The phone in front, thank God you pointed out, it's going to be terrible quality. Nobody's going to watch your video. It's just going to be swipe to the left and on to the next one. But, again, it's an experience. And, hey, if it enhances your experience and you bring a glove to a ball game, I'm not going to mock
you.
Tommy,
no offense. Our listeners are very strongly disagreeing with you.
Really?
Very strong. Very strongly 16. Disagreeing with you.
16. Yeah. That's it. Unless you're with a kid.
Yeah, no, they're strongly disagreeing. There should be no age limit on bringing a glove. None. So I would tend to agree with that. I have no problem
right.
bringing a glove.
All right.
I just want to share the ball with the kidlings for sure. One final one for you here on a lovely Thursday afternoon. Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. The Toronto Maple Leafs. Like it's funny. Alex Ovechkin is what is he? 5 goals away from becoming the greatest power play goal scorer in NHL history, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about Auston Matthews always the best scorer. Well, because he scores 5-on-5. But the fact that you can't score on the power play, shouldn't that be somewhat of a detriment? The Toronto Maple Leafs, since March 4th, are 4.7% on the power play. And they were 32.5% prior to that. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a team go from 32.5% from January 13th to March 3rd and then absolutely crater and fall off a cliff. Like, it's truly amazing that they have that much skill, but they can't score on the power play. Because that's where your skill is supposed to shine even more. I don't get it.
That's bewildering. And then the other thing with the Leafs, too, I don't know if you've noticed this, Greggs, but nobody comments about their lack of depth scoring. And it's kind of similar to Edmonton's, where everyone talks about the big dogs, Marners, Matthews, sure, Nylander at times, Tavares at times, but there could be a significant drop-off with them when it comes to depth scoring, and it doesn't get the same type of noise that we see around here. But you're right. They're 5th in goals for per game, and that's mostly 5-on-5. I don't understand why deadly weapons like Marner and Matthews, Tavares. Wayne Simmons is great in front of the net. You've got Joe Thornton there, who's still good at distributing the puck. I don't understand how a power play with that type of personnel can't convert.
Yeah, it's very odd. It is very, very odd. Tommy, have a good one. Get outside. Put some sunscreen on.
I need it. Thanks, Craig. We'll talk to you
tomorrow. Enjoy between two cedars, Tommy. Enjoy between two
cedars. I saw that. Well done, sir.